This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
Okay, our speaker today is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, a very influential figure, and if any of you saw the PBS series, This Heart I Faith, African American Spiritual Journeys, which was just, I was riveted. It was a wonderful series. Imam was featured very prominently in that video, so you may be familiar with him, and he comes to us from Chicago today, and we're very honored to have him speak with us. So perhaps we can get started then. I'll start out, and if you have opening remarks you want to make, or we can start with questions, how you want to do it.
Well, I'm going to give the brief description of what is Islam.
Okay, let's start with that then.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Our Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet of the Quran, the last revealed book, we believe there's no other revelation coming behind it. That's our belief. And when he was asked, Prophet Muhammad, the last prophet in the Quran, and we believe also in the Bible. In fact, in our holy book, it says he is the prophet of the books that were given before, referring to a liberator, who coming to purify people, the people, lead them to purity, and lead them out of bondage. But this bondage is not physical. It's bondage to a world that they can't understand. Slaves in a world that they can't understand. So anyway, the Prophet, when he was asked, what is Islam? He said, Islam is to believe in one God. It is to pray to that God, to give in charity, to fast, and to visit the sacred house, make pilgrimage. And he finished there. So anyone who is a scholar or anyone who knows Islam, they know that Islam puts the focus on those five essentials that make for our actions, our practice, our visible practice of our religion. When we witness that there is God, we have to have witnesses to convert. When we ask, who is God? We have to have witnesses. And we accept conversions when someone say, I'm ready to witness. I'm ready to bear witness. So they come up and they bear witness before our audience, and there they're formally accepted as Muslims. To pray, you know, prayer is different too for us. When I was first introduced to the name, the word Islam, I was a boy, little boy, and this is how we pray. They would say, let's have prayer, and this is how we pray. But in Islam, this may be prayer in many religions, but in Islam, this is not prayer. This is what we call dua. It means calling on God, pleading to God for something. You need something, and you make dua. Salat is formal, and it's an obligation on Muslims to make salat. It's called prayer. We call salat prayer, not this prayer. And it is a ritual, and it's done in sections. You stand in some standing position. You go down and place your face on the ground. And I'm sure this was taken from the Bible or inspired in the Prophet, so he would know and understand this in the Bible, this prostration in the Bible. Jesus, when he was with his disciples, he stepped off from them, the Bible says, and he kneeled down, faced his forehead to the ground. And the Pope, does the same thing. He places his head face to the ground. So I'm sure that it has a connection with that and with what is done in the Bible, what is said of Jesus in the Bible. Peace be on the prophets and the servants of God. This is very visible of Muslims. Some of you perhaps know that Muslims, especially in Ramadan, they will pray in the public place. They'll pray up, they pray on the airplane. They'll pray anywhere, you know. And if you can't get up and prostrate, you can actually sit down in a plane and do your whole prayer. Islam is a very, rational religion. So you would sit down, and for prostrating to the floor, you just go deeper. You go as deep as you can. And that's your prostration that you are performing because of the circumstances. Yes, and after prayer, charity. Charity. And all religions, the major religions, they have charity. In fact, all of these are practiced, I think, by the major religions. And then fasting, I don't have time to discuss the fasting, so I'll just go straight from the fasting to the last one, and that's pilgrimage. Now, pilgrimage is called the fifth pillar of Islam, and it's the pillar of the unity of all mankind. The pillar of the unity of all mankind. And Muslims make pilgrimage from all over the world. The last one I made, we saw people from that I only saw in National Geographic. And I mean, it looks strange to me too, the customs, because they're so far from the world, from the world that we know. And they were looking in their garbs, they look so different. So that is what Islam is in the international world. I close out with what I was told Islam was under my father's teaching before we came into mainstream Islam. We were told, and that's all I could hear. I was a child, so I couldn't hear all the esoteric language that they used, you know, and I couldn't hear all that. I heard Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. And that's what I believe in.
Okay, does everybody have a seat? We can get more chairs as a seat. I have some questions, and that was one of the questions is about Islam, but perhaps we can start out a little bit learning about your own personal situation, your own journey, your history, and then ask more about Islam. So the first question we have is, some people come to their religion through their family and childhood. Others become converts later in life. Please share some of your own faith journey stories with us. How did you come to be a follower of Islam?
That's a story that takes at least 6 hours. But I'm going to try to do it in about 6 minutes.
Oh.
I was born, my father and mother. My mother brought my father to hear a strange teacher. And he was not American born. He was a foreign born. We think from India, the part of India is called the whole of Pakistan, where Ahmadiyyas are. I was born about two years after they converted, my parents converted, and my father had already changed his name. If I would show you my birth certificate, and I just looked at it 2 days ago because I had to think about renewing my passport, and Elijah Muhammad is the name on my birth certificate from my father. I don't know how they managed it. In fact, it would have been a little difficult, you know.
So you were also named Elijah Muhammad?
I'm the son of Elijah Muhammad, yes.
Okay.
On my birth certificate, my name is just what it is. Wallace D. Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
On birth certificate. My mother is Clara Evans, on my birth certificate, Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
And my father is Elijah Muhammad, on my birth certificate. And I was very surprised, because I thought, you know, back then, they wouldn't permit him to use that name. Because you have to get the name legalized. It has to be legal. But they accepted it, obviously. But that's as far as they were to do it. His last name was Poole, P-O-O-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah Poole. His grandfather, his father, Wali, later. But he was born William Poole. William Poole, and my grandmother Marie was his mother. Marie is his mother, and my mother Clara Evans Poole. But Cain became Clara Muhammad on my Clara Evans Muhammad on my birth certificate. Yes. So I was born in it. I didn't convert to the religion. I was born to a pastor. My parents and my brothers, two brothers and two sisters at the time, I think. Four brothers and two sisters. And I came up among them.
And born in Detroit, Chicago?
I was born in, yes, Detroit, but it's called Hamtramck. Town is called Hamtramck, Michigan. Hamtramck, Michigan. That's where I was born, on Newman Street. Newman Street. Newmanites.
And Wilson's. And Wilson's in Detroit.
To me, that's worthy, noteworthy. I think they planned it that way. I think they found a house, a place on, apartment on Newman Street, and got my parents in there, but we want him to be born on Newman Street.
Did you spend your childhood in Detroit, too?
No, I'm thinking about what that means now. It means the right hand. Newman. Newman of people. But Newman means the right hand. I'll let you mean it, you know, my right side.
As in the country, Newman. As in the country, right?
No, I'm not. I think they just wanted me to sign, to make put a sign in my history.
I see.
That I'm supposed to stay on the right side.
And how did your family come to Chicago?
Detroit was number one, called Temple number one. It was called Moth, nested a moth. They start the teacher, mysterious teacher, started it there for some reason, and I think I know. Detroit, it's where they made all the wheels, the automobiles first made, and it's called a Motor City. Motor reflexes. That's all we had for Islam.
Right, good. Motor reflexes.
Anyway, next place was Chicago. And you know they call Chicago Chi-Town. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We wanted to have shyness in us. And the third one that was built, it was built in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
He took us to the mill.
Okay, let's go to the next question then. What are the basic beliefs and practices of Islam? Now, you've talked a little bit about the five pillars.
Yes.
Many of our students are Christian, sometimes are some Jewish students, but we don't have many Muslim students.
Yeah,
so I think many of our students are much familiar. So if you could give just the basic beliefs of Islam,
mm-hmm.
and just a little bit, I know you started in with that in your beginning of your talk, but if you could, for this audience mm-hmm. that knows nothing, mm-hmm. give them the basics about Islam.
Well, most importantly, the Islamic creed is the first most important Islamic creed. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There is but one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. It's God's messenger. That's the most important thing. And it already was given in the first the statement of the five essentials of Islam. I gave it, but he didn't. Prophet Linnaeus himself, he was not that kind of person, you know. Very modest man. Very modest and rational man. You know, we see when we think of Islam, we have to also think of Islam as a faith, because these are structures for our practice. So you have to think of Islam as a faith. And God says in our holy book, the believers were heard saying, we have heard a caller in the land calling to faith. And we have responded saying, we believe. So Islam is a religion of faith, and our pillars of our articles of faith are very much like Christian belief. We are to believe in God And we have to believe in his messengers and what they bring, the messages that they bring. We have to believe in the angels. We have to believe in the last just day, the day of judgment. And we have all the prophets. We believe in all the prophets. And we have something called, it's very difficult. Difficult for scholars to translate into English. But some of them say pre-measurement. Some of them say pre-measurement. I'll try to explain it. Al-qadru khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. The capacity for doing wrong and good is from God, the capacity. So we have a capacity to behave decently, we have capacity to behave indecently. The indecency can't be charged to God. The good, we earn it. The indecency can't be charged to God. He gave us the capacity. He did not will that he do wrong. So that's our article of faith. And I believe Jesus Christ is the same as your Qadr, your belief in the Qadr of God.
It was long.
Our belief in the Qadr of God. It's yours, belief in Christ Jesus.
Now, some scholars of Islam, some Muslims will talk about Islam as submission. Can you explain that concept for us?
Islam is submission. That's exactly what it is. It's submission. And I wrote it, I just didn't read it. Islam is submission to the will of God. I didn't give everything. Because I think we need to. I enjoy students responding and commenting. Not just asking questions. I like to hear what they want. They have to say too. I got it over here. Over here, on this side. I never turned the page. Yeah. So, you know, you hear about jihad.
Yes.
Jihad is not among the, what we call, the essentials of faith. But jihad, when the Prophet was, he had to fight. For a long time, he refused to fight. He was a man of peace. In fact, he was stoned, and he left this town in Taif, near Mecca, not far from Mecca. And the report says the people heard the sound of blood squashing in his sandals as he was walking out of this town. They rejected him and threw stones at him until blood ran down into his sandals. And he wouldn't order his people to fight. But when they were denied the freedom to go to a site that the pagans thought was a pagan site, but the Prophet was guided to see it as a house built by Abraham for the worship of God, for all people under God, to worship God and have all people welcome there at that site. It's the holy site, the pilgrimage site, where the house of God is the Kaaba, the house that built by Abraham and his son. So anyway, when they refused to permit him and his followers to come there and have pilgrimage there, that was a terrible strain. So he negotiated with them, I think maybe twice, once I know, to have conditions, to have them change and have some kind of conditions or provision for his followers, him and his followers, to come there and make pilgrimage. But a war, the war had already broke out before that was settled. So he had to fight several wars, and Islam is not a religion of war. The Prophet said, the ink of the scholar is more precious than the blood of the martyr. Yes. So education is more important to us than jihad, physical fighting. But he did say at that point that he was victorious in Mecca, and the rule was changed from the rule of pagans to the rule of Islam or the rule of the Muslims. He said, from henceforth, there is only taqwa. Taqwa is consciousness, but it's the divine, it's consciousness with respect for what is divine, God firstly, our parents, etc. So he said it's only taqwa and jihad. and jihad. That is the consciousness for religious people, God consciousness, you would say, and struggle. Jihad means struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And not just struggle, physical struggle, fighting and killing each other, but the biggest struggle, one of the great philosophers in Islam said, the biggest jihad is jihad inside the soul.
That's a spiritual.
The spiritual jihad, yes. Where you fight bad inclinations and you resist temptations that will take you off the path of God, etc. That's the great jihad.
Now, at this point, what I'm wondering, if the students have questions about Islam that you'd like to ask, if you could entertain some questions from the students.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So, questions about Islam.
Yeah. You mentioned how your father came to Judaism. A part of conversion to Islam is a change of name required.
No.
Oh.
No. No. The prophet didn't ask his companions closest to him to change their names. He didn't change any of their names. So it's not a requirement that we change our name. But if we have an offensive name, then we should think about it.
What would an offensive name be?
Let me see if I can think of one. Black. I was just joking at that. Snake?
Oh, that would not be appropriate.
Well,
not a dignified name.
No. The snake is the one that had about the first man on earth faced the snake, didn't he? And he suffered bad consequences.
But names should follow through that. I had a student at another college that I taught, and he was a convert to Islam, and he, his name was Frederick X.
What was the name?
Frederick X. And I asked him about that. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I asked him, and he said, my slave name was Jackson. And it was so useful for me. I didn't understand before that. I think I understood better why some converts to Islam would change their names.
It's recorded in our history on the plantation slaves. But the slaves couldn't write their names. They were told to put X. I think the teacher, the man from out of the country who started off, who got the concept for our temples and the nation of Islam and all that, I think he was thinking of that, but I think he was also thinking, because he was really a practical man down on earth, but he came in the role of Jesus Christ. So he took the role of Jesus Christ in the Bible for him to come in that role, okay? So I think he was also having a reference to the cross. That these people, I'm leaving them on the cross.
I see. Yeah, I could do that. I see. Other questions about Islam? What do you wonder? Go ahead.
I have a question about the aspect of sharing the Islam. I think one story is that you have to...
Yeah, it's the third of the essential structures in Islam. The third. Charity.
And so my question is, especially in sort of the modern day where charity can be considered
My hearing is not as good as...
I'm wondering, in this day and age, as charity might have different meanings, are there any rules or expectations of a Muslim regarding the charity?
Mm-hmm.
Speak about the concept of charity.
Yes, I actually believe charity is the most important of the pillars except for one God. And I believe after you're in the spirit of God, once you're in, the next thing you should be in the spirit of giving, charity. It's the third pillar, and Jews, their requirement for congregational worship, 10 persons. 10. 10. 10 persons.
They have to have 10.
Yeah, that's right, to do worship.
Right.
We only need 3. So two, if it's only 3, 2 men stand together, or 2 persons stand together, and one leading. So it's triangle and apex, and the one we're bleeding is in the apex, the two in the base. So if you look at that, it looks like an L. There's an L here. What? And I think that this is point, you're pointed to give charity, to have compassion on all things, and especially on humanity, and to be trying to give and charity. But I would like to tell Bush right now that in our religion, you're not supposed to give so much charity and extend, as Prophet Muhammad said, you extend your hand out so far that you leave yourself dependent on others. Mm-hmm. And we just bought a lot of money from China, wasn't we?
Yes, we do.
No. Yeah. Yes. I think politics and religion and China, they all go together very well.
Good. That's good. That's a theme in our classes, is how things are interconnected. So for charity, what kinds of charitable activities would a Muslim engage in? What would that mean in practical terms in life?
Well, firstly, our book says things for Christians. Family has first rights in the book of God. That's a quote. So your first obligation is to take care of yourself and your family. That's your first obligation. But you should extend your hand out to your neighbor. And our prophet said that God pressed upon him so much in regard to how he should live with his neighbor. He said that I thought to think maybe my neighbor might inherit me. That's the saying of the prophet, you know. So the charity should start at home, and what you say, spread abroad, isn't that right? Love, charity, whatever. Starts at home and spread abroad. The same for us. And it should extend to the farthest distances on this planet Earth. If we know anybody that's suffering, if we can't help to do something physically, we should at least bear that on our hearts.
So charity not only within the Muslim community, but outside. Charity to everybody.
Outside, regardless of religion, race, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions about Islam?
Great question. Okay, you say that allows...
I'm not
a little louder.
My hearing is not the best.
When there is Muhammad, but when you say Christianity,
there is Jews,
and
there are
like
apostles
and
many
figures. I
want you
to know over
in particular.
I'm missing some of the words.
Who are the other, besides Muhammad, who are the other important figures in Islam? In Christianity, there's Jesus, but also Paul and
Peter.
Clearly, besides Muhammad, who are the other important figures?
All the prophets. All the prophets of the Bible. I can't think of the one.
Abraham?
Yes.
Abraham?
I can't think of the one that would be excluded.
I see.
All the prophets of the Bible and Prophet Muhammad. And others that we, I give you the exact words so I don't put my thinking out there and wrong way. Our holy book says, and there are those that are not named in the book. Their names are not even in the Quran. So we have to then, Prophet Muhammad has taught us to be rational, so we have to then conclude that there were prophets that were not put, their names are not in scripture, in holy book.
I've often heard that in Islam, the Mary, the mother of Jesus, figures prominently in the Quran. I think for many Christians, that's because they don't know that. They're not aware of it. What is the role of Mary? Mm-hmm. If you could explain that a little bit and interpret, because how many of you know that Mary's mother of Jesus shows up in the Bible or in the Quran? Mm-hmm.
If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive it in its entirety, you may call 708-862-7733. Or visit wdmpublications.com. Ask for catalog number. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750 or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.